Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Chris, or good afternoon.
Thank you. Indeed, afternoon here, just barely. And our assignment from yesterday. Self-hate negates what we are by focusing the attention on what we're not. I am talked into identifying with what's wrong with me. I am told that I have to meet standards that fix or change me, that make me better, the way I should be to be acceptable and lovable. Yet meeting those standards doesn't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I have assumed I will receive if I meet the standards. This whole orientation misses the point. What we are being conned into believing is that our inherent goodness is conditional, that authentic nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from the perfection of authentic nature and turned to an ego-maintaining dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Assignment. Make a recording that allows you to be in touch with the perfection of the true nature that is you. Listen to this recording as a way of training to stay with the realization of true nature rather than falling for the negation of the self-hating conversation. All right, Ashwini, and that said, I realized I haven't started the recording, so hold still. All right, we're up and going. And let's hear from our first caller here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, June.
Oh, good. Yes, this is Stephen. Well, I'm a little surprised, but happy to be on. Let's see. The thing that I am looking at is that I go through periods of time of feeling very lighthearted and present, and things, let's see, the self-hating voices, the karma seems calmed down. And then the energy moves, I guess, and I hear the voices rev back up, and the karma build back in. It becomes less being present is less. Seems less appealing when I'm believing those things, when all that energy, that negative energy, I would call it, builds back in. And so what I'm looking at this morning is, I'm out walking, so I'm out of breath. What I'm looking at this morning is how I meet that building back in of karma with a resistance that's not a centered place. It's just another aspect of the same thing. Am I making sense?
Let me see if I'm following, June. So there are periods of time where you feel lighthearted, then the karma rolls back and you start to hear voices, and then there's also resistance to hearing those voices, which is just part of the karma.
Yes, I'm resistant to that moving, to the movement away from that kind of, that lighthearted kind of blessed place of willingness and enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's I don't feel that way, which is also part of the karma. That is, there's a recognition that you're no longer feeling lighthearted, and I don't want to move away from the lightheartedness, which is also, you're seeing, part of the process.
Yeah.
So here's the interesting part, right? June, the assignment is to make a recording of our true nature, the hearing of which brings us to the awareness of our true nature. So it sounds like one of the practices we could do is to make that recording and listen to it, whether I'm lighthearted or I'm dreading the movement away from lightheartedness or in the midst of the identification. Because the attention, regardless of how I feel, is being trained to be on what is unchanging despite how I feel or despite how the karma is rolling in.
Yeah, well, that's great. Yes, that unchanging support, I suppose, that doesn't get diminished by how I feel, by the energy movements, positive and negative, back and forth, back and forth.
Right. And if I don't have if I'm not training to have my attention on that, then my experience will be subject to energy movements and feelings and circumstances, because there's the inability, due to lack of practice, to recognize the true nature that is so, despite all of those undulations and turbulences.
The true nature that is so, despite all of the undulations and turbulence.
Yeah. Because there's an awareness of lightness, there's an awareness of resistance, there's an awareness of karma rolling in. The awareness is always present. And so my ability to have attention on the awareness rather than attention on lightheartedness or whatever else is, the attention is moving towards, is the practice. So that I'm not subject to the whims of conditioned mind and its interpretations of circumstances. I'm steadfast in the awareness that is aware always, which is true nature, right?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, June. And Shwini, that just seems like a really critical piece to get, that in some way we're always receiving something, whether it's the voices of conditioning and an interpretation of the body sensation in terms of how we feel, or if it's true nature, kind of, we're always receiving something. And then to really get it, I think the way that you, both you and June express it, that we can tune into that place where there's just unchanging support for us. Mm-hmm. And
And the training is required, because that unchanging support is easy to tap in when I feel lighthearted. Sometimes, for some people, right? Although we were looking at that yesterday, that sometimes when everything is going well, that's the place we don't ask life in. But the training process is the ability to stay in that place regardless of what happens.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That we can calibrate to that, as we often say, right? That sense that our well-being is fluctuating and that we're moving along with that is the clue that we might have left that unchanging support in some way. And so
exactly. And so we practice more.
All right. Very good. And let's hear from our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning, Chris. Hi, Ashwini. It's Todd calling.
Todd, you sound crystal clear to the point that it's a little bit painful.
Is that a little better?
Yeah, much better. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Okay. A very hypersensitive microphone, I think. Anyway, what I was seeing is that recording is really helpful, that what's true recording. I've actually incorporated almost in a daily process through Zen coaching of looking at what's true. And for me, the focus I looked at this month for receiving was I constantly hear stories about I take things for granted and I'm not appreciative or grateful. Yet my recordings are full of thank yous and gratitude lists and appreciation for the practitioner and for practice. So that of course that story is always lying, but it's always trying to interfere with my ability to appreciate what life is offering, which for me has been many, many, many gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it says you are not appreciative enough or whatever it is, right? Because I think perhaps this is what you're saying, Todd, and correct me if I'm wrong. Your recordings are full of gratitude, so you know you appreciate life. The only times when that is not true is when you're listening to voice that says you don't.
Exactly. Whatever the attention is on, right?
Right.
So, and yeah, so, it's not on. Yeah, that's good.
So that calibration to what is true is, yeah, I am appreciative. The only time I'm not appreciative is when I listen to you, so I'm not listening to you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And just a little content recently is I've kind of had a reemergence of a long-standing back injury, and I got to revisit pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a great, for me, a teaching of, because life has been guiding me through this rehab of this lower back injury for 2 weeks. Every step of the way, it has guided me with compassion and kindness and gentleness And if I was listening to ego's, you know, sickening dread or doom and gloom or despair, which it wants to put me when that back reemerges, that injury, I would just be so caught up in, this is never going to get better. And that's a negation, because the true, which I record about daily, is the back is getting better little incrementally every day, but it is improving to a point where 2 weeks ago I was crawling. Today, I'm almost 95% of doing most of my activities, so there's a great example of it.
Yeah, exactly. That and I project that the conditioning could say, you know, you don't appreciate your back injury, but in some way you do, right? Because that's the real issue here, that appreciation has to look with like rainbows and stars and bells and whistles and a high level of energy and excitement. But there is a very quiet, perhaps acceptance of how you want to be with this person, you want to be with your back, you want to take care of it, you want to listen to life, support you through it. Mm-hmm. That's an appreciation in the sense of accepting what is and being with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, accepting what is and being with it, exactly. And those daily recordings of you know, allowing the mentor, and I've been doing two-hand recordings on it, the person who suffers the back injury, and then the mentor who is guiding or life's guiding the rehab of it. It's been so helpful to have that person who believes some of the fear-mongering stories about the back injury, has, because I've had it for decades. But with that tune recording, it goes back to what's true. Mm-hmm. And we get to see, you know, the daily improvement is what's true.
Mm-hmm. And what is also true in shifting the attention that way is really the patience, the attention, the vigilance, the caring that's going along with that injury, right?
Yeah.
And when attention is on that, then you don't actually open up into the fear mongering. It's really such a switch. It's what we're talking about with June. No matter what I'm experiencing, there's a context that I can attend to because I've practiced so much that ensures my well-being regardless of the fear-mongering or regardless of the injury.
Yeah, precisely. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you, Todd. And it's so, it takes such a lot of practice to be able to receive that in times that are challenging, right?
Right, like we, these are the times we practice for, the challenging times. Because you're right, all that training and all the structures that practice, you know, puts in place for us, then when the times get super challenging, all the structures are already in place. We don't have to reinvent the wheel in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly so.
Thank you. Gesho, go happy.
You too.
Thank you, Taz. And Ashwini, as you two were talking, I was just following along with the having an injury and being able to kind of tell from day to day, even if it's just a little tiny bit, sometimes being able to tell from day to day that it's getting better, and then just following along with spiritual practice kind of in that same way, that oftentimes that's not the case, right? That from day to day, it doesn't seem like things are getting clearer or I'm suffering less or something like that. But in that same way, just to know that at some level that that's probably happening, and I may not be aware of it, but to have that kind of faith in that, as we talked about, that unchanging support, to know that that's actually true, that if I'm showing up, that the transformation is happening.
Mm. Well, that brings up so much, Chris. Food for a really long conversation. But let's see what our next caller has to say. There's so much in that one can elaborate on, but...
Okay, let's do here. Hold on a second. And... next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Aloha, this is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. Oh, gosh. So, it was a little challenging for me to this month to identify true nature as a positive as opposed to what it is not.
Uh-huh.
Which says to me that, well, I don't know what it says to me because I'm full of stories, but it might be that conditioning was trying to orchestrate that process.
Mm-hmm. Can you give an example, Laura?
Okay, so in true nature, there is nothing wrong, for example, right? So, but that still references to something wrong.
Yeah, interesting, yes. But it's true.
Yes. Yes, it is true. So, yes, exactly.
And there's a glory for this tradition of defining things in the negative, right? It's not this, it's not this. So that which is can be, which is indescribable and has no definition, can be experienced.
Oh, okay. So, this is so interesting because I'm being told that I'm doing it wrong because I'm doing that.
That's right. That's the nature we don't want to identify with. That's true, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, this is so interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I think we're so conditioned to have limited definitions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, what we're attempting to do in the recording is to go to an experience, not a label of something, right?
Right. Which in this particular karma for me, it's about being, not doing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Yep. Because if you did a recording that allowed you to talk about how wonderful something you did is, right? There's enthusiasm, there's appreciation, there's gratitude for the doing of it, there's the sense of accomplishment and satisfaction of how well it's done, Now I'm making a recording of true nature.
Right.
Right? Because that's what did it.
Yeah.
And so I'm in touch with not what got done or the fact that that the recording is about doing, but that I'm talking from what sees that, what's aware of it, what can see what qualities it has.
Right, which brings me back to calibration.
Yes, and specificity, right? It doesn't matter what it is that you're putting your attention on in order to make that recording. Because if you think about it, and if you look at it in that sense, true nature is everything. So you can make a recording of anything, and where you're tuning into to make the recording from is what's true.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, thank you for that clarification.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome. Yeah, listening to that voice that says you're doing it wrong just about closes down our ability to tune into what's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly so. Mm-hmm. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. Shanina, it does seem very Zen that we're asked to make a recording of something that's kind of ineffable in a way. Right? Mm-hmm. Something the conditioned mind can't possibly do. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the Zen part, that when we do it, we're doing it to be pointed to what it is that the instruction is pointing to, right?
Exactly.
Not what the instruction is.
Yeah. And even if we start there, then there is that kind of, as was alluded to, that calibrating, that kind of filtering down through the conditioned layers or kind of, you know, the attention in the mind and finally arriving at the body and presence and, mm-hmm. yeah. All right. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Miriam from Eastern Canada.
Hey, Miriam.
How are you?
Good. How are you? What are you
I'm
saying
doing,
about true nature?
I am so in awe that my cat chewing on the hose of the blood pressure monitor that I had just bought was the little shove that I needed to get out of this wall of resistance I'd been in for over 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So because the cat chewed the monitor, the hose, I had to buy a new one. So I asked the pharmacist to show me how to put it on. And I had to put my arm through the cuff, and that's not what I was doing. And when she told me that, I just popped in. You have to go through. You can't go around because you're just going to come to the back door and come right back.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found really interesting, the last is, so what knocked me into my conditioning was May 5th, and I finally came out yesterday. And during that whole time, so my focus is on receiving the human and not the conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so listening to Open Air and the archives and the radio show and everything, usually every caller who speaks, it speaks to my experience, and the last 2 weeks, nothing. And then yesterday, it all came back. So everything everyone's saying, it speaks to me, it's part of my experience. So I see how the connection was cut, mm-hmm. and the experience of truly being separate, that it cut me off from everything, and it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I was just going to echo the fact that sometimes that's what we have to experience in our practice. That when we're in that resistance, there's a way in which we are aware of that resistance and calibrate to what it feels like to be identified. Versus when we're not in that resistance or not in that separation and calibrate to what it feels like when that's not operating. And I don't know if this is your experience, Miriam, but it's certainly mine that what it puts us in touch with is a sense of humility, right, against what we're up against, and that there is a way in which I can't do this.
That is so true. because, right. I mean, I was trying to figure out how to use the machine, and I kept getting error messages, and it never even occurred to me to call my friend and ask, or ask Google. Mm-hmm. It was just, I was so fixated that this was the way it had to be, and I read the instructions, and that's what I understood, and that's what it had to be, and it wasn't that at all.
That's right.
So it was really...
And so we learned something, right? That is
yes.
In the experience, that when I'm locked into that place, what avenues are closed to me is what I have to learn by first being locked in. And then when I come out of it, there's a whole bunch of insight that I have that I can then apply and train with and practice with for the next time, because there will be a next time.
Oh, I know. Jen had mentioned that in one of the workshops, mm-hmm. and it, about a month ago, and bam, it came back. And what's interesting for me to be aware of it that it always come back to the same karma of speak or don't speak. Mm-hmm. If I speak, I'm mean, I'm a bully, and if I don't speak, I'm the one who's being bullied. Mm-hmm. So it's really, but yeah. it's ego is really a sneaky.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why we calibrate to tuning it out, right?
Yes.
I'm constantly tuning it out. And, you know, I'm here humbly receiving whatever it is that life wants to reveal to me and to teach me.
That's right. Anyway, so I had to thank the cat for chewing the hose.
Yes, they, you know, life, true nature shows up in all kinds of ways.
Yeah, it was really, I had a good laugh over it.
Yes, that's precisely the right awareness practitioner attitude. Humor.
Oh, it was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for sharing. And it's just wonderful to be a part of this process. It's just amazing.
Thank you for that, Maria.
Okay, thank you.
Go happy.
Thank you, Miriam. And Ashwini, I think we've got time for one more here. So.
All right.
Hold on. I can get the usual cue to cooperate. Next caller, if you are not live on the air, would you please introduce yourself?
This is Brian in North Carolina.
Hey, Brian.
Hey. So this month I'm working with multitasking as an impediment to like receiving each moment as it comes. Mm. And this radio show, the Daily Show, has been such a great, great mirror for that. You know, just to sit here and listen, and there's this pile of things on my desk that I keep thinking I'm going to clean up, and it's never tempting to clean it up except during the radio show.
yes, I could just see that.
Yeah, it's anything. Oh, my posture. Oh, my neck. And so like it's been really rich, and so I noticed that earlier in the call I was thinking, oh well, or in the show, if I get on, there was this voice saying, if you get on the air, make sure you remember what your recording was about, because you want to make sure you can talk about the assignment. I thought, oh, that's a voice talking while the radio show is playing, and I'm here listening to the radio show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly so. That it's possible to have an awareness of what we are, but attention can only be on one thing, right? So if you're listening to a voice, you're really not completely present to the radio show. And that's the reason to practice the way you're practicing, which is I'm going to have all of my attention on what it is that I'm doing or on awareness. Otherwise, I find myself incapable of being able to do that, right?
Yeah, well, and you know, and what dropped in just now was like sort of gratitude that, oh, I didn't clean this part of the desk before this month came along. Because it's just so right here, and it's every day. There's a piece of cake. Oh, there's this, and I keep leaving. It's like, you know, there'll be a time later in the day to do this, and mm-hmm. it's not happening. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And like, so like the appreciation, it's like, you know, the appreciation for the cat chewing the hose. It's like, oh, it's a gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that, yeah, that it wants, you know, so I see it in meditation, I see it, you know, and I said, really, it's like this, something about the call-in show, or the Sunday program was about seeing how you're controlled. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my gosh, like every little thing is a pull away from this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And so the training is to receive every moment. And so absolutely wonderfully phrased, right, Brian, because that doing a task, whether it's thinking about doing a task or actually doing a task, are both movements away from the totality of being here.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is that one of my notes on the wall is it's a practice of coming back to celebrate the return. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's been really helpful because I'm seeing so many more departures to like not give that an avenue of additional criticism.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gone again? Are you distracted again? Like, yep, but here I am.
Yes, which goes back to what we were talking about for June, right? That the true nature is the awareness that's seeing the departure and the return, and that's where we want the attention to be, not on the criticism that you left. So to really, really pay attention to that and not give in to the self-hate is really the calibrating to true nature, the true nature that's aware.
Yeah, and it's not really different than cleaning the desk during the radio show.
Mm-hmm. No, it is.
It's the same process. It's not 95 things. It's really one.
Mm-hmm. The same process. Attention here or attention on conditioned mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well thank you so
that,
much.
Brian.
Yes. Mm. Bye-bye. Go happy.
Thank you, Brian. Shwini, that brings us to the end of another great show. And our assignment for today. As you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that result in suffering? Example, I consistently push away any expressions of concern that are not expressed in a form acceptable to me. Since I don't receive concern in the form it is offered and actively push it away, I remain in the story that no one really cares about me. RL, what you see.
Mm.
Very good.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. And as we say, go happy.
Thank you, Ashwini. Go happy indeed. Till tomorrow.